Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 25th of August, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksin, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, it's the epitome of shameless self-promotion as we meet the team who wrote and directed the play Your Host is Doing at the Fringe, plus music from my brother's friend's daughter and a guy I went to high school with. It's the Nepotism Hour. Plus, we'll look at what's going on this weekend, the usual call board, and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, as you probably heard, because I keep mentioning it, and I will continue to keep mentioning it, I'm doing a show at the Fringe this year. It's called Obit.
A deathly serious comedy.
Yes, exactly. And we have the co-writers and co-directors in the studio right here. Please introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm Simon Roberts.
And I'm Kathy Collis.
All right, there we go. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about the play.
Well, I should say, really, it started out, this has been a two-year project in the making, really, and we started out writing three independent scenes around obituaries, because we're both fascinated, I've been fascinated with obituaries for years. So that's how it kind of started, and then it morphed into this kind of trying to make the three scenes knit together, cheekily or not, and we've done that. And then Kathy, being the big pusher behind the scenes, said, you know, we should enter Fringe. We should just get this in Fringe. Yeah. And of course, that was the final push to get us it fully rewritten again, because we've rewritten it probably 10,000 times.
Yeah. And it's just an exercise. It's just a writing project until you actually have to put it on stage.
Exactly, when you get that deadline.
Now, what's speaking of deadline, what's the fascination with obituaries?
Well, mine, I'll let Kathy speak for herself, mine has been for, you know, it's kind of, perhaps it sounds morbid, but this goes back many, many years to my 20s even, where when you have those moments where you question what the hell is life all about, and what's the purpose and why am I here and so on, I found myself reading obituaries really as a lift me up than a take me down. Because when you look at it and you see somebody's life and you go, wow, they're not here anymore. They've gone. They've just suddenly gone. And then you say, well, what did they do and what does it mean and does it matter? And I think so when things get tough, you kind of look at it and you go, hey, life's pretty good. I'm still here. And it just gives me a different outlook. So it really got me to think about these people behind the scenes and what their real life was all about. And that's where my fascination comes from. So I've always read them.
All right. Well, Kathy, tell us like where it comes from for you then.
I would
say I'm probably a little bit less fascinated with obituaries than Simon is, but I certainly understand the idea that people are different than what their obituary says. Yeah. That's really where the interest is for me. And mm-hmm. when you try to write something and you're trying to tell a story, that's really where the interesting part is, yeah. I think, is what do we present and what is behind the scenes, and yeah. let's explore that. So I think
yeah, because I mean the play itself, it's not about death. It's about life. It's about it's sort of a linking gimmick to take these three short stories and give them some kind of thread to go through. But you've got three really interesting stories, each one that takes a different look at life and the different people involved. So tell us a little bit about where these stories came from.
Well, we talked about them together, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we both sort of talked about different things. Do you want to talk about the first one first?
Sure. Well, I mean, the themes, I think in life in general, I'm fascinated with hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because I think hypocrisy is in all of us. It's innate. And I think it was David Hare, the playwright, who said, you know, plays are not about conflict. They're really about you know, the man professing love for his wife while his hand is going up the back of the lover who's standing mm-hmm. beside him. You
yeah.
know, and I think there's truth in that in our whole life. So everybody has their own moral compass, and we justify things all the time. So we wanted to show that behind the scenes in all of these three things. You know, yeah. well, you know, the obituary says this, but what was really going on? Just show us a snippet. Show us something that's not yeah. what we expected.
Yeah.
So in the first scene that I was particularly interested in and we spent a lot of time on was this idea of, you know, a man going through separation in midlife and through future divorce. How does he cope going out into the world?
Yeah.
And so we say, you know, here's this guy who actually gets knocked off before he's even fully divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, what was his life about? Well, he was in the throes of trying to date and go through online dating.
Yeah.
And yet we present him in the obituary. It's like, well, he had this loving family and he was a devoted father. But really, he was trying to do these things. And online dating, as I haven't personally engaged in it, but I've had tons of friends who have.
Yeah.
And that's a way of, you know, getting out there again. And
which has its own level of deception and hypocrisy in there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's yeah. full of it. And yeah. in fact, I think creates more barriers for people, but for many people anyway. But that's, so that's how that scene came about.
And I think also it's one that we can uniquely write together, not because we have that experience at all, but just a male and a female writing a scene
yeah.
like that with those two perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I did go through, you know, I went through a midlife divorce, you know, not that long ago.
Yeah.
And you're then faced with these challenges, and so we wanted to bring in the idea of a younger woman, because that's always seems to be, whether it's Woody Allen-ish or otherwise, it's always brought up, and there are people have very strong opinions about this. So we thought, well, let's just put it out there. And is it always that the young woman who might hook up with this guy, is it always motivated just by money or just by greed or
yeah.
whatever? Maybe there could be other reasons sometimes, not often maybe, but sometimes. So we wanted to kind of put those things up there and have a particular word that is used that I'm going to call it a trigger word. I don't know if that's what it's now called, but it's a word that sends me kind of nuts. So we won't give it away here, but that's
no.
used in this first scene,
okay.
and we talk about that.
Yes, I'm sure we will. And then the second story is about two brothers who ironically share the same name as my two nephews, but that's another story.
Oh, how interesting. Know that.
That's right. But their mothers just passed away, and they're going through their stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that, for me, was a little bit of a personal story. I mean, but it was the opposite. It was my dad died, and
yeah.
you do start to go through things. You know, when you lose a parent, you start to think about that stuff and mm-hmm. find things. I didn't find things like we find in the in the play.
Yeah.
I didn't find those things about my dad when he died, but I certainly learned different things about him. So
mm-hmm.
I always think, and I love exploring the sibling relationship.
Yeah.
I love that kind of banter and like love, hate. People can still push each other's buttons. I think that's fun to play with in a
mm-hmm.
comedic way,
yeah.
but also that it can also go dark.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And the two heavy themes in that, but we hope we present them in a way that's funny, is, you know, the idea around abortion and
yeah.
what that means to somebody at a certain point in their life. And also this idea of when you make the decision to have a child, this kind of stemmed from the end of life debate that went on in Canada, and that we've ended up with assisted suicide.
Yeah.
you know, is it true that everybody, we in life, we make a choice. If you've decided to have a child and that child, you knew ahead of time that that child is going to be disabled or challenged in some form or other, you still go ahead. You have to obviously justify that because you've now got the child. You're going to do your very best job and love that child. But is that how you really, truly feel deep inside? You know, I think a lot of people might have regrets in doing that. So it
does bring up a very interesting question where the father of the child actually says, is that fair to her that we brought her into this world?
Right. And we're just putting that out there and challenging it, and that there's no black and white on these issues.
No answers, just questions.
Exactly. Great questions. Yeah. And then the third one is about end of life and how people face that.
Yeah. I struggled with that one a little bit. Simon had to convince me to talk about Alzheimer's because my dad did have Alzheimer's. So that was a tough one, and I thought it might be too close. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. I think it's worked out okay.
Well, I think so. My father died a few years ago, and he had a little bit of dementia. It wasn't as bad as Kathy's father.
Yeah.
But again, brings up that subject of, you know, what does it all mean in the end? Yeah, there's my dad. You're close to him, but it's only in a certain way, in my case. And you think, who was this man when he dies? Who was the real dad? You know, I know him as a certain guy, but who is the real person behind that you never know about?
Yeah.
And having this dementia, you begin to realize that you die an empty shell. And I've seen many deaths myself, or a good number, and you realize that you are just a shell at the end once you're physically dead. And you begin to say, so when you look at what happens to somebody who's got Alzheimer's, where this shell begins to come about sooner.
Yeah.
And what does that mean in terms of their legacy? And in this case, as you know, and it's one of the roles you're playing, is this gentleman who was maybe not the nicest person in life, but had a side to him that, you know, a very noble human side.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it matter in the end? Because not only does he lose his memory, you know, he's going to die by himself, which we all do. But in his case, no friends, no family.
Yeah, he's just been left alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's as sad as Alzheimer's is, it absolutely is the saddest thing to watch someone that you love go through that. Mm-hmm. But there are times when you laugh and you laugh and you don't want to.
Yeah.
Maybe you think, I shouldn't, but you can't help it. You know, so that we're trying to explore a little bit of that, too.
Yes, we're trying to do it respectfully. It is funny when you watch. My mother has now some dementia. Not bad, but, you know, she'll start repeating things. And it's just funnier than hell sometimes.
Yeah.
And you find yourself laughing in front of her, but not wanting to because you're embarrassed for her and you don't want her to wonder what's going on. But it's just plain funny sometimes.
Yeah. So it gives the audience an opportunity to have a safe place to do that.
Yeah.
to have that kind of reaction. That's a lot to pack into an hour.
Should we take something out at this point?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the audience is going to be going to find that their fringe dollar is well spent.
I think you're right.
If I do say so myself.
I think you're actually right, Dave. There is a lot. We realized when we went through this that we found certain themes that we really wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
And then we said, well, you know, we still have to stick to our core theme, which is, you know, about this obituary and what's the person behind. But, of course, it opens up all kinds of doors. So we hope we haven't muddied the waters too much with too many themes. But I think you're right. It does go. And we don't want people to think it's a downer. It's not. It's a comedy. It is.
It is.
Serious comedy.
And there's musical bits and there's choreography and funny costumes. There's lots to go on.
And props.
Lots of props. Yeah. Yes. Thanks to Women's Wear for supplying one of our props. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Right.
You know, there's something that's been going on actually in my life right now that kind of also brings home that idea about what we say about people and their obituaries compared to how we really felt about them, what they were really like. I live next door to a cemetery in Burnaby, and there was a funeral there about a month or a month and a half ago, really well attended, more so than most of the burials that we witnessed, and the grave is still covered with flowers like a month later, and people are still coming by every day and visiting the grave. And Renee and I were like, who is this person? What's going on there? And I went over to the grave site and I found his name and I looked him up. And the only thing I could find about him was mourned by friends and family.
A private man.
That was all it said.
Yeah.
And we did a little bit more searching and actually discovered that he was a rapper. He was a singer with a hip hop group called Boombox Saints. So, you know, found out more about that. But just the actual obituary, the official notice that was put on him said nothing.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Do you spend time in the cemetery? Like I do. I live.
Sometimes we go for walks. Like, you know, you do four laps is a mile. And
yeah, we do the same. Right? I live right next to a cemetery in Tawasin. And it's similar as well. Right. And so you do spend a lot of time. And it does make you think a little bit about death and differently and people and how they're remembered.
Yeah. So I hope I'm going to give away one line in the play, just in that. That line which says memory, death is that state in which we exist only in the memories of others.
Yeah.
And for that reason, it isn't the end. I think it is true that obituaries, I mean, it's about us. It's about the people left behind. Mm-hmm. It's never about the person who's died, of course.
Yeah.
Although, people who are spiritual, religious, who have a set that who do believe in an afterlife, I think you could argue that it makes things easier in a way, because it allows them, they know they in their minds they have a future, but in reality we don't know that. Nobody knows this what really happens, but we do know that the people left behind are the ones who cope with that, and that's thus the obituaries. And we've seen some very funny, now because of Facebook now, we've seen some pretty long, much deeper obituaries where some of these truths are beginning to come out.
Yeah.
We saw one from a couple in Texas, a family in Texas, and I can't remember all the words, but they just said this was the most horrible guy in the world. They just slammed this guy.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was there was no love there. Yeah.
No love. But it's very rare, you see, that. Yeah. Usually people like to gloss it over and just put the nice stuff in.
Yeah. So that would have been interesting to read.
But I like that idea of just loved by family and friends. Missed by family and friends, did you say, Dave?
Mourned by family and friends, yeah.
It's a very simple, nice way to go.
But contrast that to this parade of visitors that have come to the gravesite since then. So he obviously had an impact.
Yes.
You know, so the people that know.
That's an interesting thought, though. What is I think if in the legacy of when you kick the bucket is you know, what was your impact? And in truth, you know, you look at, that's really brought it home where my father died, you know, thinking about, you know, what, he's just a regular guy. He did his stuff. And in the end, I came very strongly to the opinion for myself was that only he knows.
Yeah.
And only he can be the judge of himself. And in the end, of course, when he finally goes, that's it. And now if he believed in a God, or if he believes there's a God, I guess he'll feel that he might be judged in the next life. Mm-hmm. I don't think my father did in the end, despite a very strong religious background.
Yeah.
But he only, from my perspective, only he knew who the real dad was and the real person was behind it, and has to face that himself. We could, you know, what's the point of us? We can't judge it. You can try it. It doesn't do you any good. Only he's responsible for himself.
Yeah.
And mostly we actually don't get to write our own obituaries, right? That's the other thing that's interesting that comes up in the play, and that we think about. Like, we can judge for ourselves, as you say, about your dad or about anybody, but most of us don't have that chance. We have to let others do it, and that's a hard thing to give away when you think about it, really, to see how, you know, I mean, we're not there to judge ourselves, of course, afterwards, but it's always interesting to, it'd be wonderful to come back and see, you know, what did they say about me?
Exactly, that's a familiar theme, too, is attending your own funeral just to see what they said.
Maybe that's the sequel, Simon. There
you go. You see, you get these things started and off it goes.
I knew we'd get ghosts in there somewhere.
So it's called Obit. It's at the Cult Historic during the Fringe Festival. We've got six performances, including one half-price show on Thursday the 14th. Yeah. And you got a couple of tickets to give away, too.
Yes, we'd be happy to give away two tickets for our Monday, September 11th show at 8:05 p.m.
All right. So give us a call, 604-822-CITR. And we'll pass them out to the first caller, and just got hit in the mouth with my own microphone here. So Simon and Kathy, thanks both for coming in. Did you have anything more you wanted to?
I just wanted to add one little thing to your listeners out there. As I will tell you, and this is meant from the heart, your humble host Dave is known to be eminently watchable. And I can tell you that he is more than eminently watchable.
Agreed.
And so you will see a fantastic array of characters that Dave puts out there. So if for nothing more, come see your host in the real live flesh, because it is a joy to behold.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Well, thank you both for coming in. I can't say any more than that.
Thank you so much for having us,
Dave.
Thank
you.
And I promise that forever I'll be here with you. If you ever wonder where you belong, you won't have to search very far for my open arms. And I promise that forever they'll be here to hold you. And I wish I had more words to say it, but I guess I'll have to do it now. 'Cause I thought about it an awful lot, and these three words are the best I've got. I will never throw you down, only lift you up so high, so you can see above the clouds and reach for the sky. And I promise that forever I will help you fly. And I wish I had more words to say it, but I guess I'll have to do it now. 'Cause I thought of
That's Madeline Reed, who just had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Madeline. Stick around. Coming up, we are going to talk about some of the stuff that's going on this weekend, including a fundraiser for a play about female swashbucklers.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Graduate student? De-stress from your studies through the Graduate Student Society. Come and meet new friends through our beer tasting sessions, sports leagues, and fitness classes.
And maybe you're interested in making a difference. Help eliminate sexual assault by volunteering to become a GSS active bystander trainer. If ever you experience difficulties with your supervisors, faculty, or the university, the GSS can provide confidential advocacy assistance. And we will work with you to help resolve academic, personal, or financial issues. Your graduate student experience matters. Let the GSS help you now. Visit gss.ubc.ca.
Not just rich people that own the media.
I own my 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 media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members. Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
Hey there, my name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
So last week we had a visit from Terry Lynn Williams Davidson, the Haida artist who is she's just released a new CD and she's going to be performing on Sunday night at the Kulch Historic Theater along with from the band Chilliwack, Claire Lawrence and Bill Henderson. Here's a track from her CD. It's called Canoe Song.
Hey!
we watch the birth of the land, the origins of humanity. Glaciers and floods, we cleanse the earth. We became the land and sea. Now we stand up and say, Guringe klat ega, Guringan klats gadi. Make your mind strong.
Terry Lynn Williams Davidson performing at the Cult Historic on Sunday. Wouldn't it be cool if for once the girls got the swords, if they got into a big fight? Yeah, it's the girls' turn to fight things out, and they're not pulling any punches. It's Meiko Uchi's play. What's it called? It's called I Am For You. And it examines the taboo topic of physical violence in young women and teaches the importance of control and perspective. And it's coming up next month. There's a fundraiser tomorrow at the Seven Dining Lounge at Broadway and Manitoba, 53 West Broadway is the address. And that is hosted by Wonder Dog Theater. It's an open mic fundraiser featuring a host of local performers, comedians, and musicians, including Georgia Johnson, Andrew Lynch, Tina Darkajian, Maddie Kelly, UBC Improv Company, and Alessandro Samciampolio. There'll be a raffle and tons of awesome prizes, like tickets for two to any show at Pacific Theater, a portrait session, some commissioned painting. Oh my goodness! All kinds of pieces. Some handmade jewelry. Tickets to closing night of Mary Poppins at Theater Under the Stars. All kinds of great stuff. So that's, as I said, going on tomorrow night at Seven Dining Lounge. It's a fundraiser for Wonder Dog Theater's I Am For You, and we are hoping to get some folks from I Am For You on here next week. So we'll talk more about that coming up. But right now, just check out the details on the Dave Radio Facebook page, and we will keep you informed. Tomorrow night at the Backstage Lounge on sunny Granville Island, our dear friends, the Judies, are doing a doubleheader wig-out show. What does it say here? It's a doubleheader wig out with infectious punk popsters The New Black and savage dad rock supergroup The Judies. They're sure to put a spring in your curls with their rollicking tunes. Whether you like them short and bouncy or long and luscious, these bands have something for everyone. So let's hear from them both. First The Judies, then The New Black at the Backstage Lounge tomorrow night. We'll be right back.
I just thought it would be good for you to sit in, because Dave was actually here when I came to CITR many years ago.
Yeah, many years ago. We've just been taking
over. Oh, we are
over.
On the air! Oh.
Which one are you on? You're on three, right?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. All right. So who are you anyway?
We are having music in the background.
It's over now.
Oh, it's amazing. How did you do that?
It's magic. It's the miracle of broadcasting.
I am Nardwuar the Human Serviette from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, early for my show. I hate being late. When I'm early, my show starts at 3:30, and boy, I'm really early, aren't I?
Yes, you are. You're not even awake at this time.
And thank you, Dave, for inviting me in the CITR in the true spirit of inviting people into CITR.
Yeah.
I was just here and you said, come on in.
Come on in. That's why we're here.
To the teaching booth.
We're here in the fishbowl. Anybody who walks by is welcome to come in and say their stuff. And now
I was thinking actually, come on down to CITR. If Nardwuar can do it, so can you.
That's
but
right.
You taught me how to do it, didn't you?
Well,
you and Fulminger. Can you please explain? What year was that?
This was 1987.
Or 1986, I joined CITR.
Yeah. Well, 1986, I wasn't on staff. I was doing a radio show called the Crack of Noon Show.
Named
number one by the Georgia Strait, and then I went away for a while. I went on a trip to Europe, and then came back, and they had created a new position called, I think it was called programming assistant or something at the time. And Phil Menger was the first guy to take on that job, and
his job was to
train new volunteers. So it was actually Phil that showed you where the buttons are and how to get all that stuff. By the time I came back, you were already here and had gotten.
But
started.
You eventually took over from Phil.
I
Menger.
Eventually took over
you
from
and Bill
Phil.
Mullen. It was you and Bill Mullen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were in charge of a lot of the announcements, and I came across you, Dave Campbell.
Yeah.
Also, you were the lead singer of the Tartan Haggis.
Yes, I did Tartan
Are you
Haggis.
On Halloween or 7-inch?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm the singer of Loch Ness Monster.
And eventually...
So when your band, the Evaporators, came up with Ogopogo Punk, it was a natural cross-reference. For we each have a sea monster song.
Well, that is very interesting.
No, sorry, a lake monster song.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, everything I've done has been done before or said before. In other words, yes, Tartan Haggis, you did it in 86 with the Loch Ness Monster song, and we did it in my band, The Evaporators, years later in 2017 with Ogopogo Punk.
Yeah.
And also, but you started a career, pretty much the Scottish career of Paul McKenzie, because the real McKenzies are still going.
Yeah.
Well, on Fat Records.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Now, I don't give me credit for starting it.
I kind of am.
Yeah, but I'm not going to accept it because McKenzie could be listening.
How did it start?
If McKenzie's listening and he hears me taking credit for starting Tartan Haggis, I'm in even more
how
trouble with him
start?
Than I am.
Just quickly, how did it start?
It was Paul McKenzie had a band called The Enigmas. And Billy Barker had a band called The Scissors, and they wanted to do something together that was like a Scottish punk pub band, and they needed a singer, and I don't know whose idea it was, but somebody knew that I could do a Scottish accent, so they called me in to I'd never sung in a band before or anything. They just put me up in front, and we did Scottish parodies of classic 60s pop songs, and the rest... is history.
Now, what was CITR like back then for people like Marsha, who's in the studio today?
Yes, we have a visiting journalist doing a profile of the 30th anniversary of Nardwuar the Human Serviette.
What was CITR like back then?
Well,
it was in a
different building. It was in the old Student Union building. We were up on the second floor. We were behind a brick wall. It was a great place to hide. It was the place for nerds misfits. That's the
me.
Word.
What's that? Me.
That's right. Where the place for the misfits to go.
It used to be the people would walk down the hall into CITR, and Chris Defoe, who was the editor, who also wrote for the Globe and Mail, would yell at people, "No!" And In other words, you shouldn't join CITR. Like, people, is that true?
He never yelled at
you
me.
You heard the legend of that, didn't you?
I may have heard
the
legend,
people would walk down the hall,
it.
Chris would look at the person and say no, and the person would turn around and leave.
Yeah.
But now here we
That's
are, 2017.
Yes. And 30 years later.
What are we hidden? Is CITR hidden?
No, that's the thing. Now we're in the middle of, as I said, the goldfish bowl. Like, we're on display and
we're on the internet.
Yeah.
We're archived.
We're available.
We're podcast.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things have to change. It's a new beginning for CITR. And you are back,
but
Dave.
You know what?
You are back in the Georgia Strait.
And
are you back number three top show? Like, all these years later, you were number three top show, weren't you?
When?
A couple years ago?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But you were asking me what's different and what is not different, what hasn't changed, is the spirit and the atmosphere and the energy and the enthusiasm of the people that work here. That hasn't changed, and that's what brought me back. Because I went away for 25 years, and we had that big reunion. Remember the big reunion we had at the Grad Center with the big banquet and everything? You spoke there, and we had people from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s there. And we did a tour of the old station, and I went through it, and I just said, this is exactly the way it was when I was here before and what I love about it. And so I came back.
I guess to me, you never left.
Yeah.
Because
no,
I met you.
You never left.
Oh, exactly. Oh, but again, I'm not the only one that has been at CITR a long time.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, George Family Man Barrett
Does
a rocker show.
King Dredd.
Pierre Hewish does Oral Tentacles.
Oh, really? He's still here.
He's still on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve Edge
Does
the folk show.
Yeah.
The metal show, Power Chord,
Is
still on the air. And that was very contentious at the time,
oh,
wasn't
yeah.
it? Giving a metal show to CITR. Maybe you could elaborate on that, Dave. CITR did not want in a true tradition.
Yeah, I mean,
we had
an image to maintain. We weren't a metal station. We were the alternative station. We were the punk station. We were the kids in skinny ties. And to have metalheads coming in, that just wasn't us.
But in 1984, CITR unleashed the door, or opened the door with Power Chord. It is still going. So those shows are at least 30 years too.
Yeah.
Like, and you are back.
Yeah, and I'm back.
So you are 30 years.
Yeah.
Or more. When did you start?
I started in 1984.
So that is 33 years.
Yeah.
But not, boom.
But not continuous. Like I said, there was a 25-year gap.
But that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Has anybody come back after 25 years?
Not that I know of.
And the thing is, people listening right now might be like, oh, you're talking about 1984, but you can join. People can join right now.
Yeah.
And do a show.
Yeah.
And come back in 25 years.
Yeah.
It took me a year to get involved. I was happy to do announcements, wasn't I, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we called them carts at that time,
well,
but
that's...
I was happy to do announcements.
Yeah.
What would you say carts were?
Carts is short for cartridges, and they were plastic tape loop. They were tape loops that were wrapped in an easy to operate package. It was a little cartridge, and you just put it in the slot in the machine, push the go button, and it was always ready to go.
And I remember the first one I made was CITR promoing She's Gotta Have It, a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah.
And that would have been She's Gotta Have It,
yeah.
1986.
Yeah.
And I remember also saying, fuck Iceland, it's the Cramps. In other words, screw Bjork and the Sugar Cubes. Love the Cramps. But now looking back, I do love the Cramps, but I was kind of stupid to say screw Iceland.
Yeah.
I could have talked to Bjork.
You could have found other ways of expressing that.
Who did you talk to in early days, Dave? There was a lot of CITR interview opportunities, weren't there?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of them?
That I interviewed myself? No, I wasn't an interview guy back then.
Do you remember who would come out to CITR? Because it used to be for CITR, like Iggy Pop, when he played Vancouver, he would play the UBC sub ballroom.
Yep.
Because it was the only place receptive.
The Cramps played out there.
The Dead Kennedys, the Ramones. And then eventually they played the Commodore. But at first it was only...
the sub ballroom or the War Memorial Gym.
It was CITR. Yeah. CITR meant... a lot. It still does, but it really was the only outlet for alternative music.
Yeah.
And remember, when we got a phone caller, it used to mean like 50 people are listening.
Yeah.
We haven't got any phone callers now,
no.
So probably zero are listening.
It's one of the great sources of pride for this show that we never get callers.
But I think think it's great. Now people can go back and revisit this
show
on the Dave blog, on iTunes, etc. Or on
available.
Twitter. You can tweet it out.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me hijack your show. But you asked me in here.
I made the mistake of inviting you in. Come, we're going to talk about what you're doing for the big 30th anniversary special, because it's like 20 hours of continuous programming or something. Tell me about that.
It's starting on Thursday, September the 21st at 9 p.m. till Friday, when my show ends, at 5 p.m. on September the 22nd. I'm going to play straight 20 hours worth of recordings that I've done.
So you're
going to
hijack
years.
My show again.
Oh yeah, you get preempted. Oh, sorry about that.
Thanks a lot, pal.
But I'm gonna go to. But in return,
so what are you gonna? Are you
gonna
play?
Have to stay awake.
Is this gonna be this continuous onslaught of Nardwar interviews?
If people aren't offended by my voice now, they're gonna be really offended.
They're gonna be really
when
sick
they hear
of you.
20 hours straight. Yes, everything from Johnny Rotten. Is gonna represent the punk to like Questlove, the band leader of the Roots on the Jimmy Fallon show, and we're gonna go way back and play some old Carts too, plus a whole bunch of political stuff. Justin Trudeau, Christy Clark,
Jean Chrétien.
They will all be there. 20 hours worth of stuff. So I guess you're gonna get preempted, but people listening might be like, well, Nardwar will probably
just
get
make
a
it,
headache. Yes,
just
I will.
Make it worth it.
It will be painful. And
make
then,
it worth it for the Dave Radio audience to go, well, I'm sorry that Dave isn't on today, but at least we're going to hear Nardwar.
I can't guarantee that they will enjoy that, but they might enjoy the next day on Saturday, September the 23rd at the hall at 1739 Venables. It used to be called Astorino's, the corner of Commercial and Venables. I'm going to have a gig with the Evaporators, the Video Vault, where I'm going to show a bunch of videos and tell stories like I have told you, and as well, the band Owl Empire is going to play. That's going to be the next day of all ages gig on Saturday, September the 23rd. Only $10, and more information at nardwar.com at all ages, because I love the all ages, right? That is really important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All ages for all of the kids.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you keep talking because I'm looking for something here.
Thank again. this is Dave. I forgot that Dave had returned to CITR after 25 years. That is amazing. But again, if we could come back. You started Paul McKenzie's, who was in the band, Darrell McKenzie's Scottish career, because his band, before Paul McKenzie was in, the real McKenzie's was in the band Tartan Haggis, and Dave was the singer. And you did this song, Loch Ness Monster, Nessie Loch Ness Monster, and my band, The Evaporators, did Ogo Pogo Punk all these years later. I knew I got it from somewhere. You're mad at that, aren't you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, because like I said, it gives me an excuse to play Loch Ness Monster now, because I can go, well,
And again, it's a very collectible.
Nardwar did it, but I did it first.
It's a very collectible Vancouver 7-inch. It has like Bags of Dirt on it.
Yeah.
And Tartan Haggis.
And the Scissors and the Enigmas. Yeah.
It's Halloweeners. And it was volume one of all Halloween. There was a couple of them, weren't there?
I only did the one,
were a couple. So be on the lookout. Thank you, Dave. Did that make sense, what I've said? Probably not. But
has anything you've said ever made sense?
Not really.
Well, then why start now?
Exactly. Thank you very much for letting me come in here, Dave.
Yeah.
If any of this is confusing, I guess just tune in today at 3:30 for more confusion.
All right.
Thank you for letting me hijack your show.
All right.
And doot, doot, loot, doot.
Doot, doot. No tune can resist the old shave and a haircut.
Started way before, since Pogo, beneath the waters in-
That was my own fault for letting them in. One last thing here. As I mentioned before, I was going to play a song from a guy I went to high school with. His name's Curtis Cowan. The band's called Flyer, and they're playing at the Chilliwack Legion tonight. They're doing kind of a Legion tour of Vancouver and the Fraser Valley. This is their new tune called Girls Night Out. It's just right here. It's right here. I know it's right here. Oh, I have to do this first. Okay, this is it. That's our show. Thanks for listening and sharing your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And stick around, because Fresh Slice is up next, followed by Radio Zero at 2 o'clock. And then it's that guy that was just here, Nardwar, at 3:30 with Napkin Boy. And I'll be back next week at the same time. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye.